Just finishing up his first NHL season, Luke Gazdik stuck with us through the break. I appreciate it, Luke. Don Cherry didn't mince his words. He went after you a few times. I kind of found it interesting, considering usually he's a guy who defends and protects the guys in your role. And I thought he really overblew the, well, you're wearing a visor, so somehow that allows you to fight better.
Yeah, and I have a lot of respect for Don, man. I grew up watching him every Saturday, and then I'm sitting there watching him attack me more so. And I don't know. I just don't think – I think Ron was trying to explain the rule to him a little bit, but it's a tough situation for me, right? I got to wear the visor. You needed 25 NHL games before this year, before they grandfathered it in, and I had zero. And so it's something I'm going to have to wear for the rest of my career. And there's not too many ways around it. There's not too many things you can do. You get the extra penalty for taking it off. And then saw the situation, too, in Montreal. I had dropped the gloves with Travis Mullen at center ice, and we both took ours off, and the refs jumped in right away. So it's a sticky situation for me, and just one thing I'm going to have to deal with for sure. But I don't think it affects the way I fight or anything like that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because his theory was, well, you can somehow punch – more recklessly because you're wearing a visor and the other guy isn't.
Yeah, and I don't buy that for one second. I think if I'm going to hit you with my right hand and it's gonna knock you down, it has nothing to do with whether I'm wearing a visor or not. And whether you're going to punch me, it doesn't really give you that much more protection. It really doesn't. If you're going to get punched in the chin, there's no visor blocking your chin. Like, I really don't think – it might sound biased because I'm wearing one, but I really don't think it is that much of an advantage in a fight.
And you've lost yours in fights this year. I know in the Thornton fight, you almost kind of bent over and let him take your helmet off.
Yeah, and I think that was, a little more respect factor for him. He kind of grabbed me, and we grabbed on, and he had a hold on it. Instead of me just kind of backing off, I just kind of let it happen. I let him rip it off a little bit. And, I mean, he's a guy that's been around for a while. He's been around – done the job for a number of years, so I kind of just let that one happen, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and I the reason I brought that one up was I went back and I watched that fight tape before the show, and then I watched other one. I didn't see suddenly you punching different in that fight when you were wearing no helmet than the ones when you were wearing a visor.
Yeah, no, I literally fight the exact same way. Go back and watch fights in the minors, anything when I was taking helmets off before. It doesn't change my technique or strategy at all. I literally fight the same way, same time, all the time, you know?
And you have to. I don't think you can suddenly change your change how you do it.
No, not at all. It's just something that I've grown into. My style of fighting, my strategy that I use doesn't change whether I have a visor on or not, for sure.
Luke Gazdik joins us. Have you watched the playoffs?
I have been. I've been watching a lot of it. A lot more than I thought, actually.
And you look, there's a lot of teams out there that, their fourth line in San Jose, they were huge when they were down in that game against LA. They scored the two goals, got them right back into that game. Boston's used their fourth line for a long time. There's other guys that are playing, decent minutes. Ultimately, fighting, there's less of it in the playoffs. We all know that. And you don't want to be a guy who's just a fighter. Do you look at the playoffs, and is that added inspiration? Say, man, and I know you talk about wanting to improve your skating and your puck possession and puck skills, but that's got to be an even bigger motivation, because no one wants to sit out at the most important time of the year.
Yeah, for sure. There's been some great examples of that in the playoffs so far, and you used a great one with San Jose with Brownie and Torres, both ex-Oilers in there, and they've done a heck of a job. And that's kind of what I'm striving towards for sure. In the playoffs, everything's a little more heated, a little more faster, so you do see a little less of the fights. But that style and type of hockey from a fourth line is where the game is heading towards, and that's kind of where I want to model my game into.
I had Marty McSorley. I had the pleasure of playing with him recently in the Alzheimer's Pro-Am tournament. And he talked about when he came to Edmonton from Pittsburgh, very similar situation to you, actually, except, the Oilers were a dominant team then and had won Stanley Cups. But he goes in there and he said his first practice in Edmonton, he was like, oh, my God, like, these guys are good. And he was like, man, I have a long way to go to improve. But Glenn Sather in practice, even though he didn't play in the game, he would put him on a line with Messier and Anderson in practice just to get a feel of what you have to do to play with those type of players. And he said that made him a better player in practice. Do you look in the offseason to want to try to get on the ice with guys like Taylor Hall and different to really work on your game with high-level elite players?
Yeah, I always try to do that too. I'm from a big city in Toronto, and there's a ton of pro players, so I always try to find the best skates and stuff like that. So I'm practicing with the most elite players I can. And then it's weird you said that, actually, because Dallas would would do that throughout the year too. When a guy like Halsey was sitting out, he would regularly throw me on a line with Gags and Ebs or somebody like that, just to kind of give me a feel for the way they play and the way they push the pace of the practice. And I love that. I'm not saying I would like to play there all the time. I don't even know if I could play 20 minutes a night, but it's definitely good to practice with the best and shows you like how they really work to push the pace.
Luke Gazik joins us. What were the things you noticed just in practice that were different on what they did on a line rush compared to what you would do normally with the fourth line guys?
I don't want to be chirping my fourth line guys at all, but it's just the passing is so crisp. Like, there's not – sometimes you'll bobble a pass every once in a while. I mean, they just don't – it's always just straight lines, and they just handle the puck so well, and you literally – you give them the puck, and you go to the net, and you get it back. It's just – it's incredible some of the way that those guys work, especially through the middle, Sam Gagner and Nuge. Like, you give them the puck, and all you do is go down your wing, and you're going to get it back at some point with a chance to score, and – It really is pretty special to see how skilled some of the players we have on our team are.
Now, I found out today that you played lacrosse a lot growing up. More field lacrosse than box, which kind of surprised me. Why? Like, I love box lacrosse, you know. Yeah. I watch field and I'm like, meh, it's kind of boring. It's like soccer with sticks. But what did you like about field more than box?
I just like the wide open game, and I actually played long pole the whole way. So I was a defenseman with a huge like 6 foot pole, and I to be honest, I really just like to take advantage of smaller players, and there's a lot of big open hits and a lot of stick work and a lot of footwork, and I thought it was great for me for my training for hockey too. I'd played in the summer, and it was great for my feet, and it was great to keep my physical sense up. I just loved it. I think it's a great game, and I think it's a really good sport for young kids to get into.
And you were even playing – were you not playing when you were playing for Erie?
Yeah, I went to play for the Erie Otters my first year junior. I was 17, which had been my grade 12 year. And after the season was done, you always go home. We didn't make the playoffs, so everyone usually goes home to their hometowns and finishes high school. But I stayed in Erie with three or four guys to finish high school there. It was just easier – transferring grades wise, and the head coach of the lacrosse team came and said, "Hey, I heard you played lacrosse," and so I ended up playing for their high school team there, and I played there the whole year. It was awesome. It was great.
Luke Gazik joins us. Have you ever played box?
I did. I played a little bit when I was younger, but still the same thing too. It was too condensed, and there wasn't enough hitting for me. I always liked the physical side.
But now that you play hockey, it's in the exact same.
Yeah, you're right. To me, I think it was actually just harder. That's why I didn't want to play. I think on field, it looks like there's more running, but there really isn't. It's just kind of containing guys. And I think on the cement floor, it was just too much work for me.
Well, the cement floor, the guys, like in the NLL, they've got the turf now. Yeah. But I watch the guys in summer league, and they're still diving across the crease to score goals with no knee pads on in the cement. Yeah. And I'm like, now that's idiotic to me.
Oh, there's some tough guys there, man. I don't know how they do it. And then the fights there are crazy, too. You see those all the time. It's basically like a street fight. I don't know how these guys are doing it. But
have you ever been in a street fight?
No. Not really, actually. I mean, nothing I could say on the air. But I'm really the complete opposite personality on the ice that I am off the ice. I'm not a guy that goes to the bar looking to pick fights or anything like that. But I can definitely protect myself if I need to.
Do you remember when was the first ever fight you got into in hockey?
Probably playing junior A, like the Ontario Hockey. Junior A League. I'm trying to think of who I fought too. I don't even know who
was
I
was that when you were with Wexford or North York?
The Wexford Raiders, I think, would have been. Yeah, I think that would have been. Maybe it was even before that. I think I went to camp in Erie, and I think I fought the captain of the Otters at the time when I was 16, and I just got drafted. Same thing. I wanted to make a name for myself. I went right after the captain at the time, and I think he laid me open, split my eye open, and. I was like, well, I got beat up, but that was kind of fun. Teammates all loved that. I think I should try that again. And I really didn't fight that much until I got to Erie. That whole year of that junior A, I didn't really fight. And then I actually got back to camp in Erie the next year, and I fought the same guy the next year, the captain again the next year. I fought him again, and I had kind of learned a little more by that time. And then I just sort of grew into it. I like doing it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because – most people, it's not a you don't. Some guys do like to fight, and that's fine. And maybe I'm old school. I grew up in the 80s, and man, I like Mark. I love Mark Messier. The guy could fight. He can score. You know, like Semenko, the guys who fought. Hey, still scored 12, 13 goals. You know, back then everybody scored. It's a hard job to do. My brother fought when he played minor pro and in the dub, and he didn't really like to do it, but he would if he got mad. How do you get into that position where some days you're not mad necessarily, but you know, okay, hey, this is my job. I'm going to have to go out there in two shifts and fight. How do you psych yourself up for it? How does that go in the course of the game?
I almost over-psych myself up for it. And half the time, I'm not even really mad, to be honest. There's not too many times that I fight where I'm really, really upset at the guy, and I think that's a good thing for the other guy because most of the time I'm not just doing it to do it. I don't want to make it sound like that, but I'm doing it because there's a purpose for it. Let's say we're down 1-2-0. I remember we were down 2-0 in Calgary. I think I fought that Brian McGrath, and that's just a situation where we're on the road, we're in front of their fans, we don't have much life, and I'm sitting there on the bench, and I'm like, you know what? Probably not going to score a goal. At least there's a chance I'm going to score a goal, but there's a better chance that I could fight than I could score a goal, put it that way. And it's just something I have to do. I'm not mad about it at all, and it's just a matter of getting myself ready and trying not to over-psych myself.
Do any of your young teammates, have they asked you for tips just so that, you know, they're never going to fight the guys that you fight, but I see Jonathan Toews drop the gloves a few times a year. Sidney Crosby fights once a year. Taylor Hall's joked around that he's kind of nervous to fight because of what happened with Dorsett, where it wasn't a punch that hurt him. It was his knee going out. Do you ever give those guys tips? Because eventually they got to stand up for themselves.
Yeah, I actually do sometimes. Like every once in a while, I'll just grab somebody. I like grabbing Nuge and just grabbing him and tossing him around. But, you know, I'd like to – it's not like I'd like to see those guys fight, but every once in a while, I just like to grab them and mess around and show them a couple things just in case push ever did come to shove.
What? How does Nugent Hopkins respond?
He loves it. I don't know. I think he likes it. He's always laughing when I grab him. I'm always telling him the guy he should fight on the other team. I always say, walking in to play Carolina, I'll say, you should fight that Jeff Skinner tonight. And then he'll just start laughing. And then I'll be like, yeah, I'll kind of show him something you should do. And he'll just laugh. And it never really happens, but I think
he's got a nasty little cheap side to him on the ice, doesn't he?
In
a good way.
He does too, and I'm not taking any credit for it, but I do try to stay in his ear, like especially with a guy like a David Backes, that when we play St. Louis, he just comes, he'll pick on a guy like Nuge, and I'll always tell Nuge, I'll say, hey, he gives you a shot, give him one back. Don't just sit there, and he gives you a slash, give him one back. Worst thing that happens, the ref's going to give you both a penalty, but if he wants to give you a face wash, get right back in his face. You don't have to initiate, but I mean, don't just take it, especially when we're at home.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, those guys, they need, obviously they need the skill factor and everything else, but collectively overall as a team, you know, this battle level, you look at the playoffs, there's a long way to go to get to becoming those team. And every guy on the ice needs to never back down to a David Backes in any situation. You can't let the team know you're willing to do it.
Yeah, you can't be intimidated by anybody, especially a team like, I mean, Chicago wins the cup last year. When we go into United Center, like, you can't ever be intimidated by these players. And I mean, eventually, if you wanna be the best, you have to beat the best. And there's gonna be times where you gotta walk into United Center or you gotta walk into Scottrade and you gotta beat the Blues and you gotta beat the Hawks. And you just can't back down. You always have to have that little bite in you, that little side of fight. And you, like, you can't just back down and roll over for teams like that.
Luke, I really appreciate this. Excellent interview, man. We're going to have you back on very soon. Best of luck in the rehab. You're going home this weekend back to Ontario?
I am. Going back to Toronto and start my rehab there for the summer.
Yeah, you might have to move to Edmonton. I know the Order fans would love to have a few more Order guys sticking around. You could, you look at Ryan Smith and you see what the community does when a guy kind of makes Edmonton his home.
Yeah, it actually is a special place. Win or lose, I've experienced that, and it is a special place to play hockey.
What did you think of the Smitty game?
It was one of the cooler things I've ever seen in my life, to be honest. Me and Andrew Ferentz were talking about, he's played in the league for 15 years, Fair, and he said a lot of guys will go their whole career never seeing anything like that, and it was cool that I got to spend his last year with him and actually play on his line for a little bit as well.
Did he did he teach you how to deflect pucks?
Honestly, I was in that guy's ear every day for the entire year, just asking him questions and how he takes pucks off the walls and how he wraps pucks around the net and everything. Anytime I saw him seeing something, I would just ask him questions because it's probably the only time I'm going to be able to do that.
Well, for the last two decades, there's very few guys who are better on the wall than Smith. And he's not a very big guy when you consider it. And, man, he had an unbelievable ability to win a lot of battles.
Well, he's got that canoe paddle the stick too, right?
Did you ever use it in practice for once?
Yeah,
for fun?
I tried it once. I was in shock that a hockey player in this day and age could use it. But he did, and he made a heck of a career with it. I got him to give me one. He signed the blade for me, so I have that sitting in my house, and that'll be something going up on the wall.
That's pretty cool. There's not many of those. Plus, if you ever get stranded on the lake, you just pull it out, and away you
exactly.
go.
Yeah, exactly. That'll bring me back into shore in a couple minutes.
Luke, we appreciate it. We'll have to do this again soon. Have a great summer.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
Luke Gazdick from the Edmonton Oilers.